If you're my age, you probably do. There was a series, but I understand there were some other movies that came out about Mission Impossible. And I can remember watching it. It was always kind of interesting. Come on, this particular theme song would play. And then you'd see somebody carrying a briefcase into a private room probably somewhere. And then it would give them the mission. It's always either dangerous or something that almost seemed impossible. And then at the end, the cassette tape, and of course that kind of puts an age on it also, then it would disintegrate. And then they'd go about doing the mission. We're talking about come alive with mission. That's why we kind of get you up here. And sometimes when we think about mission, we're excited maybe at first, and then as time goes on, we kind of forget about it. But it's the greatest mission of all times that's ever been given to mankind. And the boys were out here this morning on their readers, and I was in the office, and I heard them going, you know, and they would jump, and I come out, and I said, what are you doing? And they said, well, that's the way the secret agent does it, that we're watching. So I don't know if we need to jump and growl or what to get us all excited, but we're going to talk about it. This mission. So we talk about the spiritual mission that God has given to us. It is dangerous sometimes, and it's impossible. Listen to me. It's impossible if we try to accomplish this with our strength and only man's wisdom. It's possible with God. He gave us the mission. I don't think He'd give us anything to do that He wouldn't give us the help and that we could know that it's going to be done. It's kind of like the secret missions of our military today. Units with special missions in and about our country, our world. I was surprised to see that there's some of these missions teams in almost every part of our world today. Numbers of them. And not just combat types of missions, but some of them are administrative, strategic, particular people that do the strategic part of a mission. I don't know, it was kind of surprising to me that when the Iraq war was going on, that a lot of the launches of the missiles and stuff was being done in Florida, different specialist places for these types of things. And you've probably heard of a lot of these groups, the Rangers. How about the Navy SEALs? Remember they went in and took Bin Laden out? And the Green Beret. I always remember we were in Bible college, and we had a couple that were in Bible college, and their son was chosen to be one of the Green Beret. I don't know if you've ever heard the song, Silver Wings on My Son's Chest Signify America's Best. 100 men will be tested today, but only 3 make the Green Beret. But I remember this mother taking that song and giving words to it. It had a spiritual theme and emphasis to it. So I always kind of remember the Green Beret. There were those that were raiders. These were some of the most covert teams, the Delta Force, SEAL Team 6. And so we could go on and on. You can get on the internet and read about a lot of these things. I kind of enjoy, when I was in high school, I didn't like to read. I didn't like to, you know, do things like reports And so I realized that I liked military types of things, world wars and all that. So I would read those books and do my reports on that. So it always kind of has an interest. But, you know, when we look at these and the mission that God's given to us, it kind of makes the James Bond characters like a comic strip in contrast. You know, we see these things on TV and how it's done and all that. But these secret mission teams are taking place. It's all the time that these things are taking place all over the world. And so I just want to kind of parallel that to the mission that God gave to every one of us. You know, sometimes we think, well, mission, that's for the missionaries, it's for the pastors, it's for, you know, certain people, but it's for everyone of us to be a part of, to see what God's mission is for you, and to come alive and to be excited that God's called us to do these things. The greatest danger in any kind of a mission, whether it's the things that are going on there, even the spiritual mission, is to not know what you are about or what you're going to do. Can you imagine just going out and just doing it without there being the understanding of those things? So there's three points I'd like to make here today. We're going to talk about the message. We're going to talk about the ministry of that message. And then we're going to talk about the mission. They're separate. They're different things. So first of all, we'll talk about the message, the gospel. It's the good news. Sometimes I'm sure all of you have been in situations where that when you heard the gospel, it sounded like bad news. You know, talked about all the things about sin, and we need to understand those things, but the gospel is the good news. People all over the world, most of the time, people that are not living for the Lord already realize how bad life is without Jesus. And so I noticed in the New Testament, there's about 10 things, and I'm just going to briefly mention them. But in Romans, the first chapter in the 16th verse, it says, "For I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God to salvation for everyone who believes, for the Jew first and also for the Greek." So first of all, the gospel, I need not be ashamed of it. It's got power. I can remember when I was first in Bible college, and we had a class called Soul Winning, and they had sent us out to find people to witness to. I remember how scared sometimes, afraid I was. It's the power, if I can just get a hold of that, the good news is the power that's going to set people free. It's the power that's going to save them. And it has a beginning. We need to understand its beginning. Actually, the beginning wasn't just when Jesus came to this earth. The Bible tells us it was before the worlds were even framed. Before they were ever in existence, God had a plan. It's the gospel. We're supposed to believe in it. A lot of people will hear the gospel, but don't believe in it. We're to testify to it. We're supposed to be separated to the gospel. We're supposed to live from it. It is the truth. It's the hope. It's a mystery in some ways to people that don't understand it, but I like this part. It's everlasting. The gospel is everlasting. Not only what it will it do for us in this world, but what it's going to do in eternity. God's going to bring about those things. Second thing is the ministry or the presentation of this gospel. In Luke 4:18, it's talking about Jesus. It says, "The Spirit of the Lord is upon me because he has anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor. He has sent me to heal the brokenhearted, to proclaim liberty to the captives and the recovering of sight to the blind, and to set at liberty those who are oppressed, to proclaim the acceptable year of the Lord." Notice here it says the Spirit of the Lord was upon Jesus. You know, if Jesus, I think of this often, if Jesus needed the Holy Spirit, his anointing, to help him, we need it even more than what Jesus did, so that we can do this. And as pretty much this verse covers a lot of people. People are brokenhearted, oppressed. People that are blind, not only physically, but spiritually blind. In Ephesians, the 6th chapter, in verse 10 through 18, it talks about what we're fighting against, what we spiritually are battling against. He says, "Be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. Put on the whole armor of God that you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. For we do not wrestle against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of darkness of this age, against spiritual hosts of wickedness in heavenly places." He says, because we're doing that, then he says, "Therefore, take up the whole armor of God." We're not fighting against flesh and blood. A lot of times we do. It doesn't do any good. It's that we do something spiritually that has a real effect. He says that you may be able to withstand in the evil day, putting on the whole armor of God. And then he says, having done all, then stand. Stand therefore, and he goes through these things that were to put on. Paul was using the illustration of a Roman soldier and the things that he put on for battle. And Paul parallels it spiritually to our lives. Now there are dangers. Sometimes people say, "Well, I don't want to do these things. I don't want to present the gospel because I'm afraid people will laugh at me. I'll be embarrassed. Maybe they'll do something terrible to me." In some countries today, that if you even mention the gospel, your life is in danger. Just lots of situations. So there's a danger to it. But one of the dangers is that the enemy will veil the gospel. He hides it in sin. If you don't know the Lord, what the good news is and what God wants us to do, it gets hidden. In 1 Corinthians, the 4th chapter, and verses 1 through 6, and I'm only pulling out portions of this, "But the God of this age," and notice that small letter when you look in your Bible, "the God of this age has blinded those who are perishing." And people that don't know about the gospel, people that have never heard about it, they're dying in their sin. They'll move into eternity, perishing away from what God has intended for them to have. And sometimes it's because you and I, we don't take the initiative. We haven't come alive with the power of the Holy Spirit. We need this, the baptism of the Holy Spirit, to help us to go and do these things. We know that there are false gospels in this world of ours. 1 John, the 4th chapter, and verse 1 through 6, it says, "Beloved, do not believe every spirit, but test the spirits whether they are of God." And he says, "Because many false prophets have gone out into the world." And so, you know, you hear all kinds of things, and there are false gospels out there to trip people up. People think that they know a different way or a better way than what Jesus gave us and what the Lord gave us. In 1 John, the 4th chapter and the 3rd verse, and we put these verses up so that later you can, and I think your outline, so you can go back and look at these things and encourage yourself with it so that we get the work that the Lord wants us to do. But in 1 John, the 4th chapter and verse 3, it says, "And this is the spirit of Antichrist, which you have heard is coming and now already in the world." See, a lot of times people say, well, one day the Antichrist is going to come on the scene and all these things that we talk about, the end times, are going to happen. But let me tell you, the spirit, the Bible says the spirit of Antichrist, and he makes that plural, he says, are already in the world. So a lot of the things that you and I battle with as we live the Christian life, as we try to do what God's called us to do, we come against these spiritual powers that we read about there in Ephesians, the 6th chapter. Things in spiritual high places, spiritual wickedness, things that are being influencing people on this earth. And then in 1 John, the 2nd chapter, and verse 15 through 18, he says, "Love not the world, neither the things in the world." We have to be careful with what things that are part of the world. He says, many antichrists have already come. And so we're in a spiritual battle. We sang about it this morning. This battle that we're fighting. The third part of this, so we've got the message. We've got how that we present it, the ministry of it. But the mission, what is the mission? And in Matthew, these portions of Scripture here, we have the Great Commission. It's kind of like the commandments. It's not a great suggestion. It's a great, you know, it's a mission that he calls all of us to go out and to see, and see some of those verses there. You know what's interesting? That when Jesus gave this commission to the disciples that were here on the earth at that time, it was in the midst of doubt. It's after he's died on the cross. He's been raised from the dead. They've seen miracles. They've seen all kinds of things. But Jesus comes to them in the midst of their doubt, midst of their fear. And when he gives this commission to him, he talks about their hardness of heart, talks about their unbelief. In the midst of that, Jesus commissions them to take this gospel into all the world, to the nations, to every creature, to every tribe, to every tongue, to every people. And so even today, you know, we see a lot of the things that are going to be, that are happening and already happening in this world. Even your own experience, you've found the Lord because somebody took the Great Commission to heart. They prayed for you. They witnessed to you. They brought you into a place where you would come in contact with the gospel. And we were saved. We're thankful for what God's done. But he gives them this commission. But he says, before you go, he says, I want you to go and wait for something. It's in Acts, the 1st chapter, the 8th verse. Go and wait for the power of the Holy Spirit. That was Pentecost. He says, get built up and then go. He says, do it first of all in Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, and then to the uttermost part of the world, and to the uttermost part of the earth. And remember, with God, it's possible. With men, impossible. If we allow only our wisdom, if we only allow what we know in ourselves, It can't get done. You'll just give up. You'll quit. The power and the spirit, the coming aliveness will wane in us if we don't continually, completely depend upon the Holy Spirit and go back to what God's Word says. Notice in Matthew, the 24th chapter and the 14th verse, it says, "And this gospel of the kingdom will be preached in all the world as a witness." Jesus said it. It'll happen. Whether you and I think it will, whether you and I get involved in it, it will happen. But the Lord's calling us. It's interesting that before the end of the age has come, and that it's somewhat dependent upon you and I also, as well as Jesus, as well as God. God knows when the time's going to come, when the end is going to be. But it won't be until the gospel is gone to the ends of the earth. I think it's kind of interesting today that linguists that take and translate the Bible into different languages, they say they're within just a few years of having the Bible translated into every language, every tongue in our world and our earth. It's getting closer and closer. Your mission, if you accept it, is to go and take the gospel into all the world. 7 billion people. It's more than the missions offering. It's more than praying for the missionaries. It's more than taking a missions trip. It's your neighbor. It's your family. It's those that we work with, those that live in our community. And you've heard Pastor and different ones of us say a lot this last year. 6,000 people. You know, we think it's more exciting if I could go to some country, some other place in the world, and take the gospel. But 6,000 people within 10 miles of where we meet to worship are lost and need Jesus. We need to get our focus. Our mission is to go to these. It's just like the contemporary saying today, Nike, which means just do it. Go and do it. You know, and that's the victory that there is for us. So how do we come alive? Well, you come alive with understanding God's Word, because you'll know exactly all that there is to know about it. There's a great cloud of witnesses, the Bible says, that is gone before us and that are urging us, and says, and even with Jesus. And then to come to the place in Romans, the 8th chapter, where it says, "I am persuaded that nothing is going to separate me from the love of God." See? And even sometime the mission could possibly separate us from God's love getting spread to the world that is around us. I think the church, especially in the Western culture today, needs a Holy Spirit baptism of spiritual adrenaline shot through our being so we can accomplish this. I think it's in the message that it says that there would be an adrenaline shot into us. Spiritual adrenaline that comes from God that helps us to accomplish this mission. The one that's beyond the natural world mission. The craze that is going on of gaming and sports and political things and patriotic spirit that is in our world today. Have you ever experienced the patriotic spirit? Go to a a Memorial Day service or something, or, you know, just a pledge to the allegiance of our flag here in the United States of America, just causes me to want to get up, you know, and do something. Well, I think the same thing needs to happen to bring back this life in the church, to where that we can go and reach our world. Have you ever heard of a missiologist? They are people that study spiritual statistics the worldwide. That's what their calling is. And I was looking at just a short report. It was kind of interesting to me that the ratio of Christians to unbelievers back in 100 AD, according to the population that was in our world then, that it was one believer to every 360 people that were unbelievers. That meant that about everybody you came in contact with needed to hear the gospel. The contrast, as they did this in the year 2000 AD, the difference is a 1-to-3 ratio. There is now one believer to every 3 unbelievers in our world today. So something is happening. It's taking place, and we need to see it more to encourage ourselves that this gospel will be preached in all the world. It will happen. 174,000 people are added to the body of Christ worldwide every day. Isn't that something? Every day. If we could just have a calculator in front of us, seeing day after day the thousands upon thousands that are coming to the Lord. 3,500 churches, new churches are opening every week worldwide. That's to take care of these thousands that are getting saved. I think that what the Lord says in Acts, the 2nd chapter, in verse 47, as in the Lord added to the church daily. And the Lord added to the church daily those that were being saved. It's great when we see people come to the Lord. We're here where we gather. It's great to win somebody to the Lord. It's great to know that other churches, we every week pray for the churches in the Illinois River Valley to find people that will be saved. 100,000 people live within the Illinois River Valley. We know that 6,000 of them live close to us. It's a lot of those people that need to find the Lord. I encourage you this morning as we pray. I'm going to pray for all of us, and then we're going to take a moment and pray for anybody that would respond to the good news that we've talked about this morning. But I want to pray for all of us first. Lord, help all of us to know that we have a mission. We have our families. We have our neighbors. We have, Lord, people that we work with, people that we, rub shoulders with in our community that need Jesus. Lord, help us to find them. Direct us by the Holy Spirit. Help us with the power of the Holy Spirit to win these people to the Lord. Let no one say that it's somebody else's job. Lord, every one of us come alive with the power of the Holy Spirit. Maybe you're here today and you've never responded to the gospel. You said, I've heard it. Maybe you've even tried to do some of the things we're supposed to do as Christians, not even being a Christian. I've had people do that. well, these are the things, we'll just go do it. No, you need the Lord. You need to respond to Him. And so we're going to pray this prayer together. Sometimes people ask, well, why do we always pray the same prayer every week? I'm already saved. I know you are, a lot of you. But we want to encourage those that would be here among us that need to know Jesus. Make them realize that we're with them. And so if you're here today, it's your first time, or maybe you've fallen away from the Lord, you're not where you need to be, renew your commitment to the Lord today as we pray this prayer. I have you pray it with me. Lord, I hear and now repent and believe in Jesus Christ. I believe that you died for me as my substitute and you rose from the dead. Lord Jesus, thank you for taking my place and paying my sin debt in full. I ask you for your forgiveness. And I now receive you into my heart as my Savior and Lord. Jesus Christ now lives in me. I'm a new creation in Christ. I will never be the same in Jesus' name. Amen.